The other side, Brother Terry. Praise the Lord. What a privilege it is to be back in the house. Aren't you glad we got to have church today? Amen. Had a tremendous time here last night. Did you appreciate the word of the Lord? Amen. Well, God is just so wonderful to us. Let us be back in His house to worship Him again this morning. In spirit and in truth, turn around and shake somebody's hand. Tell them you're glad to see Him in the house of God today. Amen. Brother Harry, sing that second verse for me again. Play a little bit of it while they fellowship for a minute. Play the song, guys. Play it. Praise the Lord. Brother Amos, God bless you this morning. Good to see you in the house of God, buddy. Brother John, God bless you. Good to see you this morning, buddy. Always good to see you. Prayer request this morning, if you will. Brother Mark Carter wants us to remember some unspoken prayer request that he has. He would like for the church to help him pray about. Also, he wants to thank the Lord for the many times that he has moved for me and answered prayers. And I think we all could say that. We thank God for all the many times he's moved for us. Brother Greg Robbins here in the service today. Brother Greg, God bless you. Good to see you here in the service. Give Brother Greg a nice hand this morning. Amen, buddy. Good to see you. Brother Keith wants us to remember Sister Natalie in prayer. She's not feeling well today. Also pray for a safe flight and a good report from her checkup. She leaves tomorrow, so let's pray for Sister Natalie that the Lord would just be with her, be mindful of her. Sister Barron wants to thank the Lord that her nephew David Joseph got to go home from the hospital, still on some medication, still seeking our prayers. So let's pray for that need this morning. Sister Brenda Jones says that her cousin Shelly Davis, I believe I got that Davis, I believe that's right. Pray for her that the doctors have told her that there's a possibility she might have breast cancer. Further tests are coming this week. Her sister Kathy is pregnant and is a diabetic. Her blood sugar has been dropping to 20. Testimony for Lincoln Keith. His platelets are up to 70,000, highest in over a year. And they want to praise the Lord for all of that and ask God to move on those needs in their lives. So let's just remember that as we pray today. Sister Vega wants to thank the Lord for her healing. After prayers from the saints, she started to feel better and she's able to be here in the service this morning. So somebody say praise the Lord for that. Special unspoken prayer request for a six-year-old Blake Bradley. Sister Sylvia Barham sends that in. So let's remember that need today. Brother Amos sends in a prayer request for a brother that he knows that's seeking the will of the Lord in his life. So may God grant him that. And we read several requests here last night. I still want you to remember the family of the young man that was killed in Bristol, I believe on Friday night, in an automobile accident, 16-year-old, and a schoolmate of Peyton's there at Tennessee High. And just family just absolutely devastated. So if you would remember him or his family in prayer, and the young man that was with him was taken to, I believe, Bristol Regional Hospital. Very serious condition, and just a lot of trouble in the world this morning, isn't there? But aren't you glad we've got a source that we go to and we can count on? Not all the time when we're wanting a yes and he gives us a no, or we're seeking the will of the Lord and we think it ought to work out one way and it works out another, but we pray his will be done. Is that right? How many unspoken prayer requests do we have in the building today? We know that God is a great big God, and he's very, very mindful of all of our situations. Brother Wes Willis, would you come this morning, pray over these prayer requests? Let's just commit all these things unto our Lord. You invite the presence of God into this service today as we pray with Brother Wes. We appreciate our brother, don't we? God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Let's pray. Father, because we've seen your hand at work in so many prayer requests in the past, Lord, because your word has been tried and we found it to be true, Lord, we can bring these prayer requests before you and we can trust you to take care of them. Lord, we believe that's why people send these prayer requests sometimes, Lord, that aren't even part of this body, because they know that prayers are answered. Lord, the way that you work among us is amazing to me. And I love you, Lord. I love you so much. I love the way that you come to each individual, Lord, and touch us and show us by your word and by your power that you're still alive and still real. Lord, we know with faith and because of experience, we know that we can pray and you're going to hear us and these things are going to be taken care of. We know that we can trust you to do it in a way, Lord, that we wouldn't even conceive of sometimes. Father, we've seen battles fought. We've seen, like Sister Natalie, the way we pray and pray. And each time you come up and you meet the challenge, Lord, and you don't let the devil smack us in the face and try to prove you wrong. But you show us time and time again that you're alive and well and working among us. We appreciate that so much, Lord God. We thank you for the strength that you minister to us just because we can have faith because of these things. Lord, we love you and we trust you for everything this morning. We trust you to set our brother aside and speak to us and bring us the truth. We trust you to answer these prayers. We trust you to guide us by your light, Lord, and by the leading of your spirit each day of our life. Lord, we trust you to bring us to that body change, Lord, where we can be with you in eternity, Lord. We're trusting you for everything, Lord. We just throw ourselves in your arms, Lord, and we just thank you for taking us, Lord, for taking us and giving us life and giving us liberty, Lord, and showing us a better life than what we found on our own in this world. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Wes. God bless you. Ushers, if you're coming this time, receive the morning tithe and offering. If you're visiting today with us in this service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Brother Joe Harris is going to be speaking over at Brother Bill Yancey's assembly tonight. Service starts at 6 p.m., so remember that. Also want to welcome a new addition to our local assembly. The Paget family have moved here, I believe, from down around Murfreesboro. Would you just raise your hand back here in the very back? Give those folks a nice hand this morning. God bless you. Certainly want to welcome you to our assembly. Pray that God would just let you enjoy the journey that we're on. Amen. Let's sing a song this morning. You know, Brother Donnie's been preaching a lot about that mama eagle flying over that chicken coop. I'm glad we were eagles all the time, though, aren't you? I ain't never been a chicken, have you, Brother Terry? We've always been eagles. Look at somebody and say, you've always been an eagle. You didn't look at nobody. Look at somebody and tell them that. You've always been an eagle. Or all of you was telling me one. I don't know which. Let's see a little bit of it this morning. He came looking for me. Aren't you glad he found you? Give him a big hand clap if you love him this morning. Sing it, buddy.
One night while on life's raging sea, it looked as if I would suffer defeat. As the blackness of night closed off the light, my heart sank with fear. My desperate cry rang out with pride. All I could see was no hope inside. With faith all but gone, I met the one who came looking for me. Just a matter of time, but Jesus appeared and said, "No, Satan, this one is mine. Now I'm safe with no harm, 'cause he walked through the storm. He came looking for me."
God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Let's enjoy a couple of specials this morning. Brother David, Brother Harry has a song for us.
I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sun. sunshine, for the clouds they turn to gray. I don't worry for my future, for I know what my Jesus said. And today I'll walk beside Him, for He knows what lies ahead. Oh, many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds the sparrow, well, He's the one who lives inside me. Paths that be my portion may be through the flame or flood, but His presence goes before me, and I'm
always regret it when I tell Brother Louis I got a song. His brother asked me to sing this song a couple of weeks ago. Y'all pray for me.
Here I am again. This place looks so familiar.
I remember this feeling and the tears, how they brought me to my knees. The hopelessness I feel right now will only last a while, for I know the land of blessing lies just beyond this trial. Lord, I feel your presence so much stronger today. Here in this valley, I know you're testing my faith. If it makes me more like you, this is where I want to be. I've been here before. I'm no stranger to the valley. I will smile again. Tears will dry. And I'll look back to see the reason for the journey. When I'm standing high upon the mountain peak, and when I reach the other side, I'll clearly understand that I made it through each valley, Lord, 'cause you held on to my hand. Lord, I feel your presence so much stronger today. Here in this valley, I know you're testing my faith. If it makes me more like you, this is where I want to be. I've been here before. I'm no stranger to the valley. Been here before. I'm no stranger to the valley.
God bless you this morning. Thank the Lord the snow come by and went right on through and let us have church today. The Lord was merciful to make us. If I'd had to hold this sermon for another week, I'd probably been blown to smithereens. God bless you. We have a baby to dedicate today, and then we'll go straight into the Word. If you'll be seated for just a few moments. Brother Josiah and Sister Hannah bring their little son. We'll dedicate him to the Lord today. Father, as my brother and sister want to bring their little son into your presence today, Lord. I was thinking, Brother Jim Whitson had told me his name was Adam. And I thought how much different it was, this one being brought to you, whose name is Adam, from the first one that you brought from the dust of the earth. Because of the choice that that one made, We're bearing in our body today sickness, disease, trouble, all kinds of things that we have to deal with because of Adam's choice. But yet we're so grateful that there was another Adam, a second Adam, who came to the earth to give us a choice of life. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help my brother and sister. We realize, Lord, that a baby dedication is not really just a baby dedication, but it's more of a dedication of the parents, of asking your blessing and your help to them, Lord. This child does not come pre-programmed with everything he'll ever be, but much of what he can be lays in the parents of what they will make him, what they will discipline and train him to become. So I pray that you'd help him, Lord God. They bring him today and place him in my arms, and I can offer prayer. May God, Father, more of what they do at home will have an impact upon his life than any prayer that I could ever make. But I pray, Lord Jesus, keep him from the evils of the day. Help him, if time should tarry, that his heart would be tender while he's young to be able to make his choice for you, Lord. Help them that they can influence him and affect him in the way of the gospel. Grant it, Lord. We dedicate him to you today, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand together today. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. I'd like to speak to you again today on the Spirit moved. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. If you notice, he doesn't say heavens as in plural. So there is a distinction of this here, because the heaven where God was, of course, had not entered into the picture, but this is the heaven above the earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. For those of you that wasn't with us last night, we found that word Spirit is Ruach Elohim. So it is God's character of his Godhead displayed here, moving upon the waters. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. In Luke chapter 15, verse 24, "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. From the Smyrnian church age, we did not become seed by the rebirth. We were seed and therefore were reborn, for only the elect can be reborn. Because we were seed is the reason that we could be quickened. In non-seed, there is nothing to quicken. We could dismiss right now and go home and say, "Wow." That's true. But maybe he wants to wow us a little more. Let's pray together. Father, we love you today. We thank you for your blessings toward each of us, Father God. We ask that you would take your word and speak to us, Lord. We know in a gathering like this today, some folks fill up short and some fill up long. And I pray that you'd give me wisdom to be able to find a medium somewhere, Lord. And I pray that you'd help me, since we have people in different degrees, different levels of their walk, different degrees of understanding. So help me that I can be able to venture across the board as it was and find something that will be able to help all of those that are hungry. No matter really what degree they're in, whether they're in a great time of victory or whether they're in a time of battle, whether they're in a time of strenuous situations in their life. Help me, I pray, Father, that I can be versatile enough and yielded enough to the Spirit to be able to help this congregation today. We've not gathered here, Lord, to see one another. They've not come to see me. It would be nice for me to see them and speak to one another, but that's not our reason for gathering. We believe today that there can be things said in this few moments that we're gathered together that will depart something of eternal substance and quality to these people. Truly, if that is done, it'll take you to do it. So help us today, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. It must have been something to behold, quite overwhelming. As it hangs out in its place in the universe, spinning around as a top, as a drunk man tottering coming home at night, hanging there covered in water, darkness over the face of the deep, seemingly no purpose, no use. Utter chaos existed on the entire face of it. But yet God had a reason for it being there. Even a reason for Moses to pick up here this status of its creation. For truly God could have let Moses begin to write after the earth had entered its glory stage. But instead he picks it up and he begins to take note of the character of the earth while it's in this chaos. So if he did that, I'm persuaded that he did it for a reason. He did it with future reference in mind. Something that he wanted to convey about the condition of this earth. No doubt as Satan now had already fallen. He had did this actually, made his choice before the foundation of the world. Now he's looking at this and wondering, why is God going this way? As God made all the other stars and he spanned them in the heavens and he made the universe and he placed them all in the proper place. And yet with this one, he leaves it in this chaos, in this type of an uproar. But yet God does all things well, we know, and he has something in his mind. And sometimes he may bring it up to a certain spot and it looks like absolute mess, just an absolute chaos. But you know, when he leaves it there, there's a reason. There's a further unfolding of what he has, of what he wants to reveal about that particular attribute. And then something comes out of God. Now, we know that by this time he had already condescended, because as Moses says here, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But before the beginning was the eternal. So it had already moved from that stage that he had condescended or lowered himself into what he chose to call the beginning, which is where the book of Genesis comes from. So in the beginning, it was now to where God had moved into this stage of projecting himself as creator. He had already become God because angels had already been created prior to this and they were worshiping him. So he could call himself and anointed Moses to call him in this passage God. So he wants to reveal what he is. Now he starts this revealing of himself from the beginning, before the eternal was there. Of course, Moses was not allowed to go into the eternal and capture it. But now he starts in the beginning and he moves. No doubt there was thousands and thousands of years from verse 1 to verse 2. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, Ruach Elohim, moved upon the face of the waters. Now here God begins to project his love toward this star as it was hanging out in the space. No doubt it already had its proper place and it was there where God had designated for it to be in relevance to the sun and to the moon and in a certain spot that God had placed it in the cul-de-sac of this atmosphere of where he wanted in the universe. But yet it was there hanging and my, it seemed as if though that there would nothing could ever happen to it. But God had already previously sown seeds upon this earth and they had fell down beneath the tumultuous waters as the waters was turning about on the face of the deep. No doubt the waves were turning about and oh, it was absolute, absolute darkness. And we would have stood there. Tremendous fear, no doubt as a human, would have gripped our hearts to see what a condition that it was. And this is why I repeat to you again today that there's none of you sitting here or any that will ever
ever listened to this service that is in such a condition as this earth was. And if God could do with this earth what he did, I'm convinced he can do something with you. Now, the seeds were already present. Now, in this mystery of what God is doing in the earth, it is the mystery of redemption. God is writing a story. He's repeating, starting something rather that he's going to repeat tens of thousands of times in the lives of individuals, because the earth being laid out like this is actually a type. It is a type of those that will come from the book of redemption. Now remember, the earth is the only planet that we have whose name is written in the Bible. So the earth, actually the Bible is not, this book is not a Bible of Mercury. It is not a book of Pluto, of Mars, of any other planets. But this book is actually a book that pertains to this particular planet. And this particular planet's name is found in this book. So the earth's name is in the book of life. But now whenever we pick up on the earth here, actually the earth is in a condition of being lost. The earth is form, it's form and it's shape and all, it's hard to recognize it, and it's actually lost to its purpose, lost to what God wants it to be. Now here it is in this chaos, and the earth is actually in this condition as what we would call lost, but it's fixing to be found. Now, the Spirit of God begins to move upon it, and God ushers this attribute of His presence, this Ruach Elohim, as He comes and He begins to embrace the earth in a figurative form of wings, and He puts around it, He begins to flutter His wings, and the elements of the earth, the petroleum and the cosmic lights, and all the elements that He had created. God was a great contractor, and He was laying all the materials out upon the earth. Now, I know you don't remember it, nor do I, but our bodies were actually laying upon the earth in the original brooding of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's exactly right. And yet, when the Spirit of God began to brood, now what's He doing? He's not just bringing figures into view. He's not just bringing atoms and constructing them with so much calcium, so much potash, so much petroleum, but actually He's bringing a divine order to everything. You see, just to bring plants upon the earth and botany life and animal life and all that, that would have been wonderful. But what good would all that have done without some type of order to make it all work? Now we know in this primeval condition that there was an original order which was handed down to the Garden of Eden, and then after the Garden of Eden, there was another order that kicked in after the fall, which is the order that we are living in now. Botany life, all these things are still under that order after the fall. But remember, that order is only there for a season in time. And one day that order which is now will be done away with, and it will return and revert back to the order that God intended for it to be in the beginning. Now the Spirit of God is moving upon the face of the deep. Now He's going to bring conditions right that will be able to bring forth those seeds. Those seeds are laying beneath the water. God said, let there be this and let there be that and let there be that and let there be that. And millions times millions of those spoken word seeds dropping as it was down into the water, and they fall through the tumultuous waves, and as the wind is blowing across the earth and the water, oh my, what a chaos it must have been, but yet those seeds dropping down and falling down. Amen. Each one of them going down to where it would be the right place. And the palms were sowed in a certain place, and the other types of hardwoods were sowed in another place. And there they go, falling down beneath the waters. No order, no life, no green color, no yellows, no blues. All black and dark and chaos. And the Spirit of God begins to move over this chaos and flutter His wings in a tremulous type of movement like this. And as He begins to flutter over it, something begins to happen. Now, while this is going on, His word of command says, let there be light. Let there be a dividing line between day and night, light and darkness. And then he creates a firmament, what he called a firmament, which the Greek is an expanse in the heavens. And he says, let there be something that the waters from above the earth will be divided from the waters on the earth. And he calls this firmament heaven. Now this is not where God lives. But it is the heavens that we look up into where the dew and the rain and the snow and the treasuries of God are held in this great expanse of this heavenly firmament. Now God, as he unfolds this, I just wonder what it must have been like. No doubt it was early in the morning as he began to speak. And over the horizon, the fog and the clouds begin to separate and divide. And there was a sliver of little yellow light. For the first time, the earth, glory to God. For the first time, the earth had begun to warm and something began to interact with the seeds. Now, who knows exactly how long the earth stayed in this primeval, chaotic condition of Genesis 1, moving into verse 2, and then before the sun began to raise upon the earth, maybe thousands of years, tens of thousands of years, who knows how long it was. And all the scars and the clefts of the rocks and much of the things, no doubt, that we see today when they dig down and they make highways and you see many of the rocks that are running this way and they find all kinds of strange things. No doubt this was when a lot of this was taking place. When all this chaos was going aside, but yet God was not at one bit at all intimidated by the destruction that was going upon the earth, because God had confidence in his seeds. Praise the Lord. They might lay there for 10,000 years, but when the light comes across, they will live. It's the same of the predestinated seed of God. You may be in one church, out of another, and you may drink like a fish, you may smoke like I don't know what, you may cuss like a sailor, and the devil may look at you and say, there ain't even no hope, I don't even want him. But yet with God planted that seed down inside of you, God has confidence in that word. Your life may be utter, complete chaos today, but let me point you to the one who said, let there be light. And there was light. Watch this, in the rising of the sun. Brother Bam said, now the sun, at the rising of the sun, well, there was a time when the world was laying in utter darkness. It was without form and void. It was all covered with water. And was laying in the dark, dismal, gloomy atmosphere, and the Spirit of God moved upon the water and said, let there be light. And God had a reason to do that. For down beneath that water, there was seeds that he had planted. Now remember, in the fourth seal, he says those seeds was there from some previous civilization. And he said that was a type of the human being. So God planted his seeds in this chaotic condition. And God did not consider the earth his. When the earth began to feel the warming presence of the sun, the earth was his when it was in utter chaos. Just like you were. You didn't become his when you come to the altar. You was his before there was ever a world. That's right. Those seeds that he had planted, and he had to have that sunlight to make it live. So the seeds were already there prior to the bringing into view of light. Light did not bring the seeds, but the light would bring the seeds to their potential. And this is why that the seed of God in every day will harmonize to the light of God for that day. And no matter how much you try to get your kids or your grandkids or aunts and uncles and grandpas and everybody else to see it, unless God deposited a seed of God inside of them that will harmonize with the light of God for the day, they'll never see it. You might convince them, you might reason to them, don't this make sense, don't that make sense, don't that make sense. If they've got a seed of God, they don't need sense. They need light. And that light will quicken that seed. It will bring it to immortality. And if they don't have it, you'll never convince them. Watch this. The first light that ever struck the earth was God's spoken word. He said, let there be light. And there was light. That turned darkness into light in order to bring forth a creation of joy and life upon the earth. Then the Spirit of God, as it moved with love and compassion at the great day, the first day of the dawn of creation,
But I wonder, was it beautiful? Or wasn't it still unfolding of the final stages of chaos? Wasn't there mud and muck and stuff laying around everywhere? And it took time. We get so impatient, don't we? We get saved today and want to be an adopted son tomorrow. We want to be creating worlds by Wednesday night service. We want to have our body in total subjection by next Saturday night. If we don't do it, we're so disappointed. Come on, old muck face. Realize where you come from. Glory! The Spirit of God moved, and that's how the Holy Ghost is fluttering, cooing. Come. Come. The Father ordains you. Come. So he's brooding this vital, excellent energy over the atmosphere that'll cause the atmosphere to now start corresponding with that seed. Then the law in that seed will start under the normal process, not by divine intervention. That the divine intervention will come down, bam, there's oak trees, bam, there's maple, bam, there's green beans, bam, there's tomatoes. No. The Spirit of God will move the law in that cycle. If God would have put that in every one of those original ones, then every green bean thereafter, you plant it tomorrow, you plant it tomorrow, the next day after that, man, you got green beans hanging on your vines. But God set that law in there. And maybe they just come up a little tiny sprout. And you look over the earth in a week, no change. 2 weeks, mud's getting a little bit drier. 3 weeks, a little more dry. By the fourth week, the fast germinating seeds start coming up out of the ground. Maybe a month goes by, two, three, maybe 2 years, 3 years. And you look across the earth and you can start to see little saplings. Y'all should rejoice because many of you are still just a switch. That's all you are. We've been serving the Lord for many years and we're still just little switches. That's as big as we've got. You think you're some gigantic big old tree? My, are you the redwoods of California? Are you a sequoia? I doubt it. You're probably an oak switch. You're probably standing out here in the middle of somewhere about that big around. You've been serving God for 50 years. Say, glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm a big sequoia. Yeah, you're deceiving yourself. Rest ever see you for what you are. You might as well look at yourself what you are too. Come on. But I wonder, friends, whenever the law of God begin to set order. Now notice what he's going to do. The Spirit of God, the supernatural intervention of God must come upon the earth and set what order in the earth? The order of natural nature that will take from that time on in every green bean, every tomato, every flower, everything that's ever lived under the original dispersion of life has come exactly the same way as the original ones in the Garden of Eden. You imagine as it raised that little sliver of yellow light over the horizon. And the earth began to feel these rays which it had never felt before. All it knew was, that's where you was. Call it music. Your heart's, oh my, your hearts and your ears and your whole being just beat to death with country music and rock and roll. But the Holy Ghost got a hold of you and calms you down. Now, he don't take away your shout, your joy, your shout. He don't take away all that, but he just cleans all that trash out of you. Come on. But now you imagine as it begins to arise. Those rays, those gamma rays, those ultraviolet rays, those spectrums of light, which the earth had never had before. It had never had these rays of light before. But now it begins to rise up and things start happening. What a great message that was on that first day when the sun got up. Now did every palm just bam, jump up full grown? Every old tree, bam, full grown? Watch it. If God done it that way in the first resurrection of the sun, then he'll have to do it that same way on the second resurrection of the second sun.
Now watch this. The first light that ever struck the earth was God's spoken word. He said, let there be light, and there was light. Turn the darkness into light in order to bring forth a creation of joy and life upon the earth. Then the Spirit of God moved with love and compassion. At that great day, the first day of the dawn of creation upon the earth, the sun arose and swept across its rays and dried up the waters. Notice, dried up the waters. I wonder how long that took. It really don't matter. How long do you think it'll take me to be what God wants me to be? 50 years? 60? 75? If I live long, 130, probably knowing me. Some of you, it'd take 200 years if you'd live 200 years. Because we're so hard-headed and we're so stubborn. Glory to God. What a way to start out a sermon. Come on, church, it's the truth. Look at Abraham. Look at all the different ones down through the Bible and how long they lived. I thank God time is shorter than what it used to be. Can you imagine living to be 900 years old? Dear God. Can you imagine living that long with as many failures? Don't you worry about us. We're so rotten, we'd make it past 70. We're doing good in this day and time. But look, the sun began to drop. It did not come through. And bam, immediately, full grown earth. Beautiful. But the sun dried the earth. So while it's drying, there's certain portions of dirt that was recipients of seeds. So God said, let there be, let there be, let there be, let there be, let there be. Millions times millions of seeds. So they fell down in the water. And when the sun began to dry the earth pulls up around that seed and holds it. Now the dirt itself has no life in it. But the seed does. Glory to God. Now watch, the dirt itself does not have life, but it holds life in the form of the seed. Oh my. Notice he said the sun rose and swept across its rays, dried up the waters from the earth, and made an atmosphere above. And for its first time, it was to bring joy and life to the earth. How? Read it. By a seed. Not the moon. Not the stars. Joy and life was to come upon this earth by a seed. Oh, that was a great hour. But listen to this. But oh, it wasn't nothing. That sunrise. Like the sunrise on that Easter morning. Now I wonder, do we really see it that way? Those of you that were here in the service last night, we were in awe by the way the word came. And here this morning, you can feel that same awe already here. And we're awed by that. But why is it when we come to Easter that it doesn't seem to awe us the same way? Because we look at the earth and oh my, in y'all's minds, y'all been sitting there watching the videos, I've been preaching this, I mean man, you're on the boat, you're just been tossed back and forth in the darkness and the blackness, and I come to Easter and say, I've heard that before, yeah I doubt it. I wonder how many of us have really ever heard what Easter is all about. Now notice what a profound statement for Brother Branham to make as he describes what a great thing that God did in the first sunrise. And then he would come and say, it wasn't nothing. Nothing. Like the sunrise on that Easter morning. So you mean the first sunrise and all that it did, Brother Jack, was hardly nothing compared to Jesus getting up out of the grave. Well, what was so great then? Is there something we're missing? Is there an element that we need to be tied into to see the comparison? Jesus certainly wasn't the first one to get up from the grave. We know that. Lazarus had got up from the grave. The widow from Nain, her son, was raised from the dead. Many different ones were raised. The man, whenever they was going fighting a war in the Old Testament, they throwed his body in on top of Elisha's bones and he jumped up from the grave and took off running. Jesus was not the first one to get up from the grave, so what is the difference?
This time when the sun was leaping into the skies, it brought forth a greater sunrise than ever, because it became greater news with this sunrise than it did with the sunrise at the beginning. So what was the greater news? That Jesus has got up from the dead? Okay, well, I mean, that was wonderful, wasn't it? But what was the greater news? What was the message that it brought? As a yellow sliver of light began to raise up upon the earth, and it began to feel the warming rays of the sun, and something began to happen. And immediately, all over the face of the earth, those billions and billions of seeds began to respond. Oh, how great! But we said, well, Jesus got up from the dead. Hallelujah. And yet it's a greater message. It done more. It accomplished more. I know I'm leading you down a path, but don't worry. It's a path to the pearly gates. Now watch this. Oh my. The first time the sun rose in Genesis, it was bringing a message that there will be life upon the earth. Mortal life. But this time, when the sun rose, there was a dual sun rising. Okay, now, very early of the week, they come to the tomb to where he's been. With about 100 pounds of spices and herbs to anoint his body. Their faith was great that he was the resurrection, wasn't it? Oh, if they would have believed, they wouldn't have had 1 ounce. They wouldn't have had 1 cup of oil. They wouldn't have had 1 herb that went with their shouting shoes on. But instead, they go to the tomb preparing to commit him there and let him rot. Aren't you glad God fulfills his word without our cadence and our great faith? Here's the elect, friends, and they did not bit more nothing believe what he had said. He told him, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. And yet they go to the tomb to anoint the body. But they get there at the rising of the sun. Now, 2 suns came up on this Easter morning. No doubt this great big ball hanging out there that's hung there since the creation of it in the beginning, as a sliver of yellow light come upon the horizon, as it's always done. And it come through the garden gate. And I've been there myself, stood there where they say that Jesus was buried. Quite a beautiful little quaint place. Must have been a wonderful thing. But that was another sun that got up. No yellow streaks. No great purple auras that came from it. But all of a sudden, the tomb began to shake. And the stone rolled away. And the sun walked out. So there was 2 suns got up on the same morning. Now, one of them would continue to rock in the cycle of mortal life and botany life and animal life as it has done since that very morning. It has went through the divine order that God placed upon the earth for that sun to remain where it's at and all the great rays to come and warm the earth. Oh, it done a wonderful job. Thank God for the sun, don't you? But yet at the same time, another one got up and he walked out of that tomb and it seemed like nothing happened. So one of the authors says he was standing out there. And one of the ladies comes supposing him to be a gardener. Okay. Now, I ain't very smart, but I figure if you think a man's a gardener, he must be looking like one or acting like one. Oh, say, okay, so here's the son up from the dead. And he's looking or acting like a gardener. And this woman says, sir, where have you took my Lord? Where have you took him? Of course, it was the original gardener, you know. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, how come?
all the seeds didn't jump up everywhere. Well, some had jumped up.
Glory to God. For you see, on his advent down into the regions of the lost, and starting on his victorious ascent back up, he stopped over in paradise and emptied paradise out. Glory! And there was Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and there and Job. All the rest of those saints, many of the bodies of the saints slept. They arose with him when he came out of the resurrection. When he came out and the sun come up, there popped up Job. There come, oh hallelujah, there come Jeremiah. There comes those that was the redeemed, the elected. But hardly nobody knew it. So we're standing over there. Gardener. Strange time to be gardening, isn't it? Right after daylight. And she says, sir, could you tell me where you've laid my Lord? Still, she don't believe he's got up. Oh, my. So he turns and says, watch. Let there be light. So he turns. The Easter seal is now broke. And he calls her name on this side of the broken seal. Mary. Mary. Rabboni. Rabboni. Master. Master. Oh, glory. What happens now? The Son is now up from the dead. Watch this. Brother Bim says there was a dual sun rising, another sun, not only the S-U-N, it was the S-O-N, had risen to bring eternal life to all God's promised seed that by foreknowledge he had seen laying upon the earth. Friends, sometimes I look at all these things and I think, Lord have mercy, why is it that people in this message have such a hard time with predestination and election? Don't they listen to no tapes? Don't they do no study? It's everywhere I look. Am I just wearing predestination glasses? Notice, the botany life lived back there. No more could the botany life live at the beginning without the S-U-N to bring it to life. No more than today when the sons of God is upon the earth. It takes the S-O-N light to bring them to eternal life. His chosen ones that he knew before the foundation of the world. He chosen them in himself. Glory. Before the foundation of the world. Notice. And on Easter morning, in this dirt, somewhere laid our bodies. At that time. For we are dust of the earth. So that's our earthly identity. But so let us move from the earth and move into the library of heaven. And in heaven there was a book of memory. Whose memory it was, reckon. Whose memory you reckon it was? A book of memory. Amen. And his attributes was in him. His attributes was in him. So where was the book? In his mind. The book was in his mind. His attributes was in him. Knowing that because the Son of God is raised, it would raise, oh glory, also raise to life every son that was foreordained to this great time. He knew it would be. What a more glorious sunrise than that was at the beginning than when it first dawned. A greater sunrise. And here it's been 2,000 years. And there may be some that still ain't heard it. I got a message from Brother David Siler, I guess it was this morning, said they had about 50 young people in the altar last night down in Nicaragua. We hope and pray by God's grace, the sun just come across some of their path. Look how long it's taken. Look what it's been. 2,000 years. Why would it be that way? It's the way he dispersed the seed. So instead of throwing them all out in the Ephesus age, it's like he threw some out and some landed this age, that age, that age, that age, that age. And he just threw some of them real long ways.
And they go down beneath the water. And there they lay. And they get with the wrong crowd and start smoking. Start drinking a little bit. Running around saying, man, this is the life. Boy, this is it. This is it. You're in chaos. You're without form and void. And darkness covers your soul. But one day somebody may hand you a book or a tape, or you may see a word expressed in somebody that you work with. Glory to God. And all of a sudden, them rays from that individual. Don't you understand that you being the moon, you are the wife of the sun. And how does the moon get its light? The moon itself has no light. But the moon reflects the light in the absence of the sun. This is the church. This is what the bride's supposed to be. And if anybody sees anything good in us, it has to be the reflection of our husband. Notice in Genesis 1:4, and God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day. Now remember, not sun, moon, and stars. He's not calling sun, moon, and stars this. But God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place. Now there's no order. There's no order. There's nothing on the earth. It's just all tumult. It's all turmoil. But divine order is being put into place by what? The light of the day. Amen. Don't you see why folks who do not want to accept God's word and the headship of his word, my goodness, friends, are totally out of order. They're still in utter chaos. Amen. They can carry Bibles under their arm, books, Brother Branham under their arm. But if they refuse the light of the day with the mandate of the order of God, they're still lost. Amen. They're still in utter chaos. It did not just bring animals and botany life, it brought order. Thank you, Jesus. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Now, from the time he said it till the time it happened could have been 5,000 years. 2,000, 3,000. Since you're dealing with the eternal being, time don't really matter, does it? And it was so. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, an herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind. Here's the mystery. Whose seed is in itself. Can you understand if you got the Holy Ghost here this morning? The seed of the resurrection, that quickening power that will raise you from the dead or change you, is in you right here in this building. It's the law of God under the sun. What did the sun do? The sun, my goodness, friends, can't you see it? The sun began to work on each seed according to the law departed into that seed. The sun began to move upon that seed, and the law within that predestinated seed began to respond to the sun. Same way with you and I as sons and daughters of God. When the light of the day shines upon us, we can't help it. And the earth brought forth grass, an herb yielding seed after his kind, and the truth. The tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third 1,000 year increment. Called days. Now the prophet likened the resurrection to the breaking of an Easter seal. And I read this or quoted it to those that were here last night in the service that many of us are familiar with Easter seals. But I wonder even today in the congregation of those that would be familiar of the founding of the Easter seal. And it was from a man by the name of Edgar Allan in 1919 that lived in Elyria, Ohio. And his son was injured, really bad, terrible injury in a streetcar crash. And because they had no medical facilities, his son died. So this rich businessman sold everything that he had and started an organization called National Society for Crippled Children. Then in 1934, they launched their first SEAL campaign. One year after God launched his SEAL campaign in 1933. Now, it was to fund these things to hospitals of tuberculosis and crippled children and all kinds of things like that. Then an artist made them a rendering of a lily, which is a sign of resurrection, which the lily is also used if you studied much of the mythology and the Greek mythology and also the Babylonians and Chaldeans and many of them. They found many of the other or other religions of the world, I guess you'd call them, that have also seen the lily as a sign of resurrection. So they come up with this, and then in 1952, they made this part of their organizational symbolism, that it was the Easter lily. So then people that would buy the Easter seals, and they would take this Easter seal and stamp it and put it upon a card or a letter, and then it would be sent to you or I, and we would have to break that seal. Now, it was there as a memorial, you know, out of sight, out of mind. So it was there so that it would prod you, hopefully, to be able to support the work of the Easter seal too. So it was born out of a man having this great, great thing in his life of seeing a need. Now, let me show you. God gave birth to the original Easter seal by having this need to be expressed. God having this need to express his children and all of his great attributes. So then whenever a person would receive a card or a letter and they would have the Easter seal on the back side of that, and they would, in order to get the message that was inside the card or the letter, they would have to break the seal. Oh, friends, if you think that the seals being opened in 1963, if all it is a bunch of doctrines to you, you better pray and go through it again. It's more than a bunch of doctrines. It is our identity. Watch this. Brother Branham said, we have today tuberculosis Easter seal. People send a message one to another. And to support this great fund or drive for the doctors and medical science to work upon something to retard or help tuberculosis. And they are sealed, what we call an Easter seal. We send a message one to another. But when we receive the message, that seal is broken. Because the seal is what's got a message bound on the inside. And now the true Easter seal on this sunrise was broken, and the secret of life after death. Before that time, we didn't know. The world groped in darkness, groped around man's suspicion, theories among men's heart, tradition made up, man worshiped idols, they worshiped the sun. Do you realize many of the Old Testament prophets didn't even know about death? Job didn't even understand. Where does a man go? David said, what happens to a man? It's the spirit of the beast. The man goes up, the spirit of the beast goes down. Where does man go? The mystery of it was held under the Easter seal. So God had a message hid in a human package. The second Adam. God folded it up real tightly. Small man, about 130 pounds, under 6 foot tall. God put an Easter seal. Yes, sir. And Satan wanted to look and said, what's inside there? I know there's gotta be something important in that. If I could get my hands on that. So he lived his life as any normal envelope. Got sick, got weary, got all kinds of things. But the message wasn't on the outside. The message was hid on the inside. Brother, I'll tell you one thing. If that devil would know what he is turning loose on Calvary, he would never let Jesus die. I've said it before. If he'd have known what that blood was going to do, he'd have band-aids all over Jesus. If he'd know that blood was going to set me free, if he'd know them stripes was going to heal me, hallelujah! He would have never had him to be beaten. He would have never wanted him to die. But he didn't know. The message was hid on the inside and sealed. So God sent it down from heaven.
Amen.
Here it comes. You stand there getting baptized by a prophet. And here it come. God changed the envelope and put wings on it. What's happening? The Spirit of God's brooding again. Oh, glory. Here comes the same Spirit of God that brooded over the earth. And what's he do? He goes right into Jesus. And now the life, the secret of life and death, you see it in him. And Satan knew he was different, but he just didn't know how different. I don't want to stumble you, but whatever it was, the Shekinah light and the glory and all that that was on the throne of God, no doubt Satan made many trips back and forth to make sure nothing hadn't changed. He'd go up there before the throne of God. There was Shekinah. There was that unapproachable thing, something there. He saw it there, and yet he saw him down on the earth. You heard Jesus say, the Son of Man, which is on the earth, which is even in heaven. He's just going back and forth. He couldn't figure out what in the world was going on. It was hid under the seal. Oh, glory. Don't you understand the message of the hour? It's not for the foolish virgin. Brother Ben said, the rising of the sun. The message is for the believer. To many folks, it's so confusing. They don't understand this. They don't understand that. Well, oh my, but to a believer, it's broken. It's under the seal. It's no longer sealed to the believer. Notice this. But the real seal was broken. And one who'd once lived as we live, died as we will die, was risen from the dead. What a morning! Never one like it in all the history of the world. The secret was made known. He was both resurrection and the life. Not only was he the beneficiary of the resurrection, but all those seed that was resting in God's great promise was a benefactor of that resurrection to life. Because he said, because I live, you live also. That was the breaking of the seal. The breaking of the seal is to share the life. What was the message hid in this envelope, this human envelope called Jesus? What was the message? Why was it so important that God had this express delivery brought down to the earth? What was hid in that urgent, vital message that the seal must be broken? Because I live, you live also. I don't want you to think I'm a nut this morning, but I'm going to tell you something, friends. I have already raised from the dead. Oh, you say you live long enough, you'll die. I can't live that long. I cannot die. I'm not talking about the outer man. I'm talking about this inside man. Why? The sun come up and I come up with him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, bury me over in Happy Valley Garden. Do whatever you want to do. That won't change one thing. I have already raised from the dead. Now listen to this in paragraph 49. He says, I'm sure this morning that even we who believe it cannot comprehend what a great thing that was. Because he raised from the dead, we also have already raised from the dead, for we were in him. You say, there you go. Always back to predestination. There I go. Always back to predestination, because that's where I come from. Watch, he says, notice now as the gloom covered the earth and the suns could not live without the S-U-N to rise. And gloom had covered the earth and now the S-O-N was risen. And all gloom was vanished by his light as it spread across the nations through the people that he is not here. He is risen. What a statement. He proved his word. He had proved it to be true, for he had not conquered death, hell, and the grave. The trinity of the devil. The trinity of the devil. Death, hell, and the grave. For Satan is the author of death, the possessor of hell, and also of the grave. That was the trinity of Satan being caused by one thing, and that was death. Death, you go to the grave. Being a sinner, you go to hell. And all the very thing, the trinity of Satan, which was death, that was held man in captivity all these years. But now the true trinity of God. The true trinity of God. Not three beings, but Father, Son, Holy Ghost made manifest, oh glory, being one, manifest in Christ who was light, had broken the seals, conquered the enemy, and rose up the one true and living God. I am he that was dead, I'm alive forevermore, and have the keys of death and hell. And now and then, not only that, he sent his word to his disciples, his believing, fear not, for I am he that was dead and is alive again forevermore. And I have the keys to death and hell. Satan's trinity has been conquered. Oh, but you said, Brother Donnie, how many people have we buried over here? That's exactly right. We have buried them, but death will not hold them. The grave cannot hold them because our Lord has already overcome the grave. Satan's trinity is defeated. How many saints have we packed over here and laid in the ground? Over in Kingsport, here and there and there. Oh, I said saints, excuse me. Not saints. Saints' houses. You don't bury a saint. That saint's in the other realm. Is it sad? Does it make our heart break and cry? Sure it does. But what are we doing? We're burying a seed. With the hope and the promise, they will come up again. Notice this. I love this. Can I go just a bit farther? Give me a few more minutes. He said, not only that, he sent his word to his disciples, his believing, fear not. My, what encouraging words. And what did they say? Well, I don't know if he's raised or not. I'm not sure. Is that him? And then women come and said, he's raised from the dead. And said, no, now come on now. You just thought you seen that. The believing disciples. And Jesus appears in the room, and there's Thomas, one of his preachers. He said, I can't believe it. Ain't no way in the world I believe it until I put my finger in. Jesus says, come here, Thomas. You need some evidence, don't you, boy? Come on, you want to talk in tongues, you want to prophesy, and make sure you got the Holy Ghost. All right, I'll baby you. Come on. Hallelujah. Oh, but Thomas, once he saw it, said, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. Now remember, friends, even though the sun was up, he was not up in them. Until the feast of the wave loaves. As the sun broke across the horizon of the first sunrise on the earth, and the muck and the mud and all the mess was still there. So the muck and the mud and the mess was still on these apostles. Look at the first great major decision they make after the ascension. And they see that Judas, what his position was. And they put in a man that God never even chose. Matthias. Never hardly done nothing for God, no doubt. A good brother, no doubt. A good Christian. But God chose Paul. They missed God's choosing a million miles. Why? The sun had not rose on their soul yet. That ought to help you understand why we've made such mistakes in our lives. Such terrible things. And if we would only allow the rays of the sun to permeate from our soul to the outer man, he would cause, oh my, he would cause us to be so submissive. It would save us a lot of mistakes in this. Forever ordained, predestinated seed of God shall come to life when that light spreads across the earth of this glorious gospel. In every age, sweated it out. Okay, devil, that's all right. Let's see, 1, 2. How do you turn this one on, buddy? Well, praise the Lord, saints. Huh. I might need to preach a little bit longer. The glorious gospel. Now remember, the gospel is not the word only. The gospel is not handing out tracts or tapes. That's not the gospel. That is the word. But the gospel is making that word live and showing the people that he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Handing out the book of Acts, we thank God for that. But that is not making the gospel live. Giving folks the serpent seed, church ages, all that. That is not the gospel. That is the word. But the gospel is you handing out that word and let God take that word and make it live out of your life and my life. That's the gospel. We're converting folks to the message, but are we getting them to Jesus? That's the thing I want to know. Oh man, notice this. He says, oh glory. In every age, it'll bring forth the crop that God ordained it to do. He raised from the dead. What a wonderful thing it is. I'm alive or quickened. The word quickened. The Greek word means something that's made alive after death. He was quickened. Not only that, will send the same life and quicken me. The power that brought me from the grave, I will send it upon you to quicken you. So when he comes up, what happens? Nothing, hardly visible at all. The disciples still arguing, still fussing, still don't believe, still make all kinds of bad choices. Somehow nothing happens. 50 days later, here comes a wave sheaf brooding over the earth again. The tremulous waving of the wings caused a tremendous wind come into the upper room. Now they're burst. Here is the first wave sheaf waving over them. And now it's bringing forth the first stage of the new seed life. As it was upon the earth, no doubt all of them didn't jump up at the same time, but maybe a certain kind got up first, and then this one, and then that one, and then that one, and then that one. And here on the day of Pentecost, the first ones, a seed crop of eternal life, come forth. Notice he come to redeem or bring life to those predestinated seed that God seen before the foundation of the world and put their names in the book of life. Here they are on earth without a hope. That's the way the earth looked, without hope. That's the way we looked, without a hope. But it's just the way it looked. It wasn't really the way it was. It looked like we was without a hope. He came not only to be the blessing, but to share the blessing with every predestinated seed. If that seed wasn't on the earth, it could not live. It had to be on the earth. Also germatized. No matter how long it's kept in darkness, it'll come forth when the S-O-N shines upon it. Notice now, he come to share it with us on Easter morning. Not only did he raise, but his beneficiaries raised. Past tense. Raised with him. They were in Christ at his crucifixion. They were in him at his resurrection. We are his beneficiaries, quickened after being dead in darkness. The darkened world of unbelief where churches and denominations and so forth has drawn us out. There's something in us calling. Oh, I love this. Oh, we want God. We're hungering. We're thirsting for God. We joined the Methodist, Baptist, Pentecost, Presbyterian, what more? And still there was something wrong. And we just couldn't find it yet. And all of a sudden, while we were groping in darkness, the great resurrection came to us in the manifestation of the promised word of God. The great resurrection. The great resurrection came to us. Oh, my friend, think of it. The great resurrection came to us in the manifestation of the promised word of God. So you mean that is my resurrection? One of them. You got quite an insurance package, I'm telling you. You got no deductible, total liability. You ain't just got hospital, you got health. This policy don't cover fillings, it covers new teeth. It don't just cover taking your gallbladder out, it comes bringing you a brand new one. Glory to God, it don't just cover this whole body, but it tells you, I will raise you up another one in this same image of this one. With no deductible, so it'll cost you nothing out of your pocket. It is absolutely free. And Him raising from the dead is an absolute guarantee that we are raised. Let me close. Oh my. The predestinated one, of course. And notice how he parallels this. Like the seed laid upon the earth. The one that had life in him. Many of them were dead. They were just rotten seed. Those waters and things burned them out. But you know, there was a seed laying there, ready for life. And God knew it was laying there. Now the predestinated ones are the first to be quickened by the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit comes to claim its own. Now this is deep. Be sure to catch this good. Now if you want to give me some deep preaching, preach to me about predestination. Because your prophet said this was deep. So if you don't think it's deep, I don't know what to think about you. You may think I've gone off the deep end, but really I came from the deep end, actually. Watch this. As a sign went across the earth, not to bring rocks, which was dirt also, to life. Not to bring all the dirt to life, but to bring the part of the dirt which was enclosed around a life. Not all men will receive Christ. Oh no. But those which God has ordained to life is housed, glory to God, around some of the dirt of this earth. This is the ones He come to quicken. Don't you see, friend? The gospel can fall upon thousands and thousands of people. Some will respond, some won't. Or say, well, I've made up my mind, glory to God. That's the dirt talking. But if it's a seed on the inside, then what happens? The seed on the inside quickens and it causes the dirt to react. And when you plant your maters and taters and beans and all that sort of thing in the spring, and you bury that seed down in the ground, that dirt itself does not have life. But you watch, because that seed has life. And watch the warming temperatures on the earth and the moisture and all that. It will cause that seed to begin to expand and quicken. And when it does, the dirt starts moving. That little seed starts coming up out of the ground and the dirt starts giving way. Oh, glory to God. Why? The dirt ain't got no life in it. It's the life of the seed moving the dirt. Oh, glory! Notice this. That dirt would lay there in the sun and say, oh, this old sun is so hot. That rock will say, this old sun is so hot. But that little seed said, that's what I'm looking for. Do you understand? Your old dirt will say, that's too hard. I can't live it. There's no way. He's preaching stuff. There ain't no way I can do it. That's your old dirt doing the talking. Let your soul do the talking. Let your seed do the talking. That's what I'm looking for. The old dirt says, oh, I can do that. He don't know what he's asking. That's way too hard. That's way too much. Shut up, dirt. Talk to me, seed. Talk to me, seed. Come on, tell me what you want, seed. I want the sun. I want the word. I want whatever it takes to put me in a body change. That's what I want. Imagine that old rock lantern. Oh, good night. Won't you turn it down a little bit? Oh, gracious. That's burning me up. Oh, rest that old dirt laying there and the Happy Valley Church. They ain't got life in it. I said, oh God. Oh, how many quotes is he going to read? Oh, how long is he going to preach? He spits and slobbers and runs and carries on like a mad dog. Oh my goodness. Well, why in the world? When's he ever going to change? I don't know. That's the question I've got. When am I going to change? But that seed says, oh, yes, yes, I feel it. Oh, hallelujah. And they're just kind of like in a microwave, you know, just spinning around the sun. Ah, ah, glory. Warm me on this side, Jesus. Ah, oh, glory. Warm me on this side, Jesus. Glory to God. And something begins to happen on the inside. And the body says, don't do that. They're going to make fun of you. Now you're acting like him. They're going to think you're all a bunch of nuts. I don't care if they do. You're going to be enough for somebody. If I want to be one, I'd rather be one for the Lord. But that little seed said, that's what I'm looking for. And it began to spring forth to life. It quickened that part of the dirt. Because the sun was not sent to quicken the rock, nor to quicken the dirt, but to quicken the life of the seed. So when the seed on the inside of you is growing and sprouting out, the dirt goes, glory! The dirt goes, hallelujah! The dirt might go, woo, glory! The dirt ain't got life, but the seed's got life. And the seed is making the dirt obey the life. That's why you quit doing wrong. That's why you quit sinning. It's because the life of the seed is causing the dirt to come into subjection. So my Easter message to you today, in January, is that we are risen from the dead. Praise the Lord. We are risen from the dead. We're not what we were. Oh no, we're definitely not what we're going to be, but we're not what we were. And it's quickening the life on the inside. Brother Ben said it quickened our mortal bodies. He said, look at them. I'm in the upper room. It so quickened them that they couldn't talk in an earthly language no more. It quickened them to a heavenly language where they were going to. Hallelujah. Oh, but Brother Donnie, what about my husband, my mama, my daddy, my child, laying over here? They're not over there. That's just the part you hugged. The part that you held its hand. It's just the house they lived in. But they moved out of that house. The quickened part moved into another house. Does it still break your heart? Sure it does. Will you ever get over that? More likely not. But yet you know. One day this cycle will end. How long has it been this way? For thousands of years. One generation lives. That one dies. Another one comes on. That one dies, another one comes on. That one dies, another one comes on. It seems like an unending cycle. And under the natural power of the natural sun, botany life does the same way. Look at our mountains. So beautiful around here in the spring, the summer, and fall. But look at it now. That grayish brown look through all of them. Just every now and then an evergreen here and there. It's not very pretty, is it? But life is still in the earth, in the roots of those trees. And it won't be long. The little tiny buds will start bursting out of there. Now the sun is what gives it power, of course, by life to do it. But you know what? Next year, if the Lord tarries, this fall, it'll go right in the same cycle again. But what if God could plant a seed that would stop the cycle of perpetual life and introduce eternal life? Where this thing of up and down, death and life, death and life, death and life, it would be broken. But you've got to conquer the trinity of Satan in order to do it. Moses couldn't do it. He could open the Red Sea, but he couldn't go down to hell and take it. Joshua could march around the walls of Jericho, but he couldn't take the grave. So there had to be one who was at the second Adam, the seed of life, that could go down, conquer death, hell, and the grave, and come out and say to his wife, because I live, you live also. You live also. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If we can imagine it, friends. Here we are in the gross darkness of this age. At the same time, though, it's shalom. Wonder why Brother Bram didn't preach shalom in 1949. Why did he preach in 1956? Here it comes, 1964, the new year. After the seals. All this breaking of the word. I'd like to say to the bride, good morning. Good morning. Huh. Well, I thought Laodicea was the night time. It was. Well, you know, Feast of Pentecost is only one day. Bride age is only a short span of time. So if there's greatness in the morning, something must have started happening. Brother Bram didn't tell y'all good night because we ain't going to sleep. We're fixing to get out of here. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is still moving. Give people books. Give them tapes. Witness to them about the message. But don't lead them to the message without making sure they got Christ. As the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep, let Him move upon their theology. Let Him move upon their heart. Let Him move. Let Him brood and coo and say, come. Come. The Father ordained it. May I say to you today, come, little seed. Grow. Grow, you little sapling. Grow, you little plant that's just stuck your head out of the dirt. Whatever stage you're in, grow. Grow till you can mature. Till the full attributes of your potential will be manifested in you. And when the bride reaches that climax, the power, the fullness of the Godhead will be bodily again in a people upon the earth. And God will be so pleased with what He has accomplished, He'll cause the resurrection. What a great hour. Brother Bram tells us in 1961, you will call your own body from the dust of the earth. So I can't make up my mind if I want to be alive or if I want to be dead. I mean, both of them would be the neatest thing in the world. I mean, if you're alive, all of a sudden you're standing there combing them gray hairs and they turn brown right in the middle of your comb. Or if you're dead and you're gone there, then you call your body. You just decide for me, Lord. Either way, the quickening power will move upon the earth. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you today for your simple yet profound word. Lord God, you're the only one that can look up across this audience today and know where every individual stands. I have no way of knowing, and I'm glad I don't. But I pray if there's some here today who can be quickened and they've not yet been quickened, I pray that the Spirit of God will move upon them. For those who have, and they need encouragement, because the soul has been quickened, yet the dirt still weighs them down. I mean, no, Lord, even though we'd plant a corn crop or tomatoes or whatever more, the conditions of rain, the conditions of the soil, so many things that are on the outside can certainly affect the growth of that seed, though the seed would be alive. If there's no moisture and the ground would dry up and become cracked and parched, that little seed will shrivel up and die. There could be a disease in the dirt. When we fertilized, we could have put too much potassium or put too much of this and that and the other. It would overcome that little seed and be more than it could take. So Lord, we know even though we've been quickened from the inside, it still takes the right temperature, the right atmosphere, and the right conditions for us to grow. Help us, Lord God. I realize I have an awesome responsibility as the pastor of this church to try to produce conditions that are conducive of growing sons and daughters of God. Lord, to have the right amount of moisture, the right amount of emotion, the right amount of teaching, the right amount of holiness, the right amount of all of these things, a constant, ongoing search and balance to keep it right. Help me, Lord God, that I don't fail you and that I don't fail them. Help them, Father, then in turn, that they will see they also have a responsibility. If I preach moisture and they're gone, then it's their responsibility to go back and get underneath that preaching by tape or whatever more, so that moisture can be enriching their life. Help them to see, Lord, coming to church is only part of it. Becoming that word is what you desire. We love you today, Father. We love you so much. How many or all would like to be remembered in prayer today? Just like God. Not me, but God. Say, Lord, you know who, where I am. You see where I'm at. Where I am in my life. I'll raise my hand too. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, Jesus. I pray, Father, your ministering angels would just minister to the needs of your children today. Those that are sick, those that are weary, those that are discouraged, whatever their need is, in the name of Jesus. Those who are streaming with the sword over in Africa, Norway, wherever they are, may the presence of God go right there to our brothers and sisters as well, Father. In the name of Jesus, may you minister to your bride around the world. Thank you, Father, that we have raised from the dead. Hallelujah. We were dead, but we are alive. We were lost, but we are found. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I'm so glad he found me. Amen. Let's sing this together before we go. How many enjoyed his word today? Amen. Are you glad that you've been quickened from the dead? Amen. You're alive forevermore. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I was on the mountain, wandering from the fountain, and I heard my Savior speak to me. He said, come to me, relenting of all your sins, repenting, and I will lead you out where you can see. Let's sing it now. Oh, and I'm so glad he found me. With love he bound me. He put his arms and eagle wings around me. Then he led me to the shelter. The dearest friend I ever knew. And when I see him on earth, my love will still grow fonder in that happy home beyond. Oh, let's sing it to him, church. Let's worship him now. I wanna
God bless you, saints. Go with the fear of God.